You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Forgiveness unlocks the riches of Christ to believers. Discover more about this truth in week 2 of our series on soteriology.
All right, good afternoon, 3 p.m. service. Today, we're down to the second installment of our The Great Exchange series. And if you weren't here for the first installment, if you missed out last week, this series is all about looking back and growing in our understanding and our appreciation of the doctrine of salvation. When we say the doctrine of salvation, it's what Jesus did for us to save us, so that our sins may be completely forgiven. And it's important for us to go through this, to revisit and to grow in our understanding of the doctrine of salvation, because the doctrine of salvation is not just some theological idea. But the more we come to understand it, the more we will come to appreciate it and learn it has massive implications for our personal lives. When I was a young kid, every time I would hear about the death of Jesus or what Jesus did for us on the cross, yes, I know the images, like this one. I've seen it. I've heard the people talk about it. But years ago, I didn't fully understand what it meant to hear when people would say, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. I didn't fully appreciate and understand, okay, Jesus died on the cross for us. Okay, wow, grabe si Jesus. Grabe ka loving, grabe ka self-sacrificing and all that. But always thought na mura siya death of a martyr. When people would die for their country or something like that. Now, I'm not downplaying those selfless acts, of course. Those are great and those are important. But what Jesus did for us on the cross is far greater. It's far more important. It has far more massive implications in our personal lives. Whenever we talk about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, it's not just some historical fact, historical event that has no meaning for us here today. No, this has massive effects for our lives. Regardless of your background, whether you're a student, you're a single professional, or you're married, understanding the doctrine of salvation will greatly change your outlook in life and how you live your life. And that's why we're having this series. If in the first week we talked about God's salvation plan, meaning salvation was not an afterthought. It wasn't just come up by God at the last minute, nag-emergency meeting siya, oops, nagkamali ta. And people, they're sinning now. Now what do we do? It wasn't that. God had planned it before the moment of time pa lang, okay? He planned it nang before He formed the universe, before He formed the first atom out there, He already had this plan in mind. Now, for the next couple of weeks, including this one, we're gonna unbox the different aspects, the different implications of that salvation plan specifically. Kanya lang kanang mag-unboxing ka, malang tao ni mo sa inasulod. We're gonna look into what's inside this salvation plan more closely for the next couple of weeks. And for our first installment, we're gonna talk about guilty to forgiven. As I said earlier, this is all about the great exchange, meaning there was an exchange from who we were before to who we are now because Jesus came into the picture. And as the installment says, guilty to forgiven. In other words, before Jesus came into the picture, our status was one of guilt, one of shame, before He came in, when we became forgiven. Now, how did that happen? How that all played out? And how is it possible? We're going to learn all of that here today. If your Bibles with you, kindly turn them to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 to 10. In verse 7, it says there, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the richness of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth." If you've read the book of Ephesians, anyone here, you read the book of Ephesians before? If you read the book of Ephesians, one key feature it has is that it is unflinching in using theological terms. Di siya mahadlok use throw at us big theological terms. Last week, we talked about predestination. This week naman, we're talking about another quote-unquote big word. Okay, but this is actually pretty simple to understand. And that word is redemption. As we talked about the transformation, the exchange from guilty to forgiven, we're going to zero in on this word for us to unlock and understand what it means to be changed from guilty to forgiven. And that is this word, redemption. So of course, the big question now is, what is redemption? More specifically, what is biblical redemption? Because perhaps for many of us here today, when we think about redemption, we have these in mind. Matungang pawn shop, ma-redeem ka na kay gipon before, kuhaunin mo balik. You pay something back to get your item. Or when you go to places like mga game places, diba, you play whatever tickets you have, you get to redeem and get a reward or something. Now, it's kind of like that, ang biblical redemption. But for us to understand, let me just illustrate it this way. There's this story of this young boy nga nagdula siya with this toy boat on a river. Then one day, while this young boy was playing, naanod ang boat niya. It was in a river. He tried to get it. He couldn't get it. So it was washed away. A day later, he was walking by the town or the village where he was living. And then he saw at the window in a small shop, exactly his toy boat, down to the smallest detail, ang toy boat niya. So he went to talk to the owner. He told him, "Hey, can I get my toy boat? It's mine. I lost it in the river." And the owner told him, "No, you can't because I bought it from someone who picked it up. You have to pay to get your boat." So the kid, knowing that there was no other way, he saved up as much money as he could to buy the boat, which was originally his in the first place. Now, I'm sharing you this story because biblical redemption is kind of like that. The word redeem means to buy out. And not just buy out to pay for anything lang, but redemption is paying a ransom for what belonged to you in the first place. Much like that young boy, iha mo tong boat in the first place eh. He had to pay pa to get it back kasi it was his. Someone had taken it. Another way to look at this is talking about paying something that belonged to you in the first place. Are you familiar with this movie? It's called The Bridge of Spies. Have you ever seen this movie? This movie takes place during the Cold War era. It's based on a true story. What's the Cold War? Hindi mo magtagdanay daw. Dili ka nang Cold War. It's a Cold War meaning there was this conflict between America and the Soviet Union or Russia na karon. And what happened was that Americans, they were able to capture a Soviet spy, but the Soviets as well were able to capture an American soldier. So they each had a prisoner of war. So what happens was that the Americans, they decided to make a deal. For them to get back their soldier, they met at this bridge, hence the title, The Bridge of Spies, and they exchanged. They had to give something to get back what was theirs, which was the soldier. They met at the bridge, they made a deal, they gave away the Soviet spies, but they could get back their American soldier, which was theirs, ilaha man tong soldier in the first place. The same thing with biblical redemption. The term was originally used to set free prisoners of war, meaning captured prisoners, for them to be freed, they would redeem them. They had to pay for something para ma-free tong mga prisoners of war. And eventually, the word extended and included freeing anyone from slavery or anyone in chains, anyone nga kanang na-slaved or about to be executed especially. That's what redemption means. And the spiritual parallel is very important, church, because it tells us na if to be redeemed means to set free ka from a previous state, and if we are a redeemed people, as we read in verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 1, in Him, in Jesus, there is redemption. It goes to tell us of what our previous state was before Jesus came into the picture. John 8 verse 34 says, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Everyone who has sinned is a slave to sin. In other words, our state before we were redeemed by God, before redemption in Christ, for all that happened, our state was that we were slaves to sin. Imagine these shackles right here. We don't wear actual metal shackles, but because of the sins that we've done, we were slaves to sin. Sin had power over us, and we were helpless to free ourselves. There was nothing we could do to free ourselves from the power of sin. Kinsay napil ani nga mas slave to sin, everyone was fallen short of the glory of God. All people who have sinned, it doesn't matter if you feel like, you know what, Tom, I'm not a terrorist. I'm not a murderer. I haven't killed anyone. I haven't done such terrible things as compared to Hitler or Bin Laden or whoever those people are. The worst I did was nangwa akong singko sa pinaka sa mama or something like that. But you know what? In the eyes of God, all sin is the same. There are no levels of sin. There's nothing like that. There's no level of sin from 0 to 1 or 9 to 10. All sin is the same in the eyes of God. In other words, lying, cheating, stealing, hurting someone is the same sin, the same level of gravity of sin as someone who's committed murder out there, or someone who's killed people out there. In other words, we're all in the same boat. May that sink in, church, of the gravity of our sins. Because of the sins that we've done in our lives, we are all slaves to sin. We were all slaves to sin. There was nothing we could do. That was the bad news. We were helpless, powerless, hopeless. On our own, there was nothing we could do. But good thing, God didn't leave us alone. Micah chapter 7 verse 19 says, He, Jesus, will have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities, that means our sins, underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. And that is why in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in Him, in Christ, we have redemption. Previously from a state of slavery because of our sin, of hopelessness, of powerlessness, here comes the transition, here comes the change. In Christ, we have redemption. In Christ, we are redeemed. We are set free, forgiven. That's why we were singing that song a while ago. We are redeemed, set free, forgiven. That way we were singing that song. It's not just some pretty lyrics put in there. Okay, catchy ni. Saturday siya butang dere. But it has deep meaning. In Christ, there is redemption. Now, how did this happen? And how is it made possible? We're going to unpack more of that. Firstly, God has purchased our freedom and we are no longer in bondage to sin. I just want us to get that. Because God has purchased, God has redeemed us. You're here, you're a believer of Jesus. You're walking with God, you're following Christ. Guess what? You're no longer in bondage to sin. You're no longer slaves of sin. Sin has no power over you. Kung before, wala lang, you do whatever that you want. But now, because Christ has set you free, di ka basta-basta madala sa sin. You have the power to say no, to turn away from sin because of what Jesus did for us. Now, how is that possible? Firstly, God redeemed us through His blood. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the richness of His grace. If the same thing, if you go to a pawn shop, if you want to redeem an item that you pawned previously, you have to pay for something, you have to pay for it. The same thing with what God did for us. For God to redeem us from our status as a slave of sin, there had to be a price to pay. Our redemption was not free. Our redemption had a cost. Our freedom was costly. And you know what was the cost? The price was Christ's own blood. That's why Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That's why we mention stuff like He shed His blood for us. And it's pretty important. You might ask, why the need for blood? Why is it such a big deal? The price was Christ dying on the cross for us, shedding His blood for us. Why couldn't it be, ah, di pwede buhok na lang ang i-shed para ma-forgive us sa sins na to? Why blood? For us to understand, let me go to Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. It says here, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. Why blood? Why the shedding of blood? Not just the shedding of blood per se, uska drop lang butang nimo, but when we say shedding of blood, it's the giving of life. And the reason for that is because life of the flesh is in the blood. If you take away all the blood in the person of any living mammal or every living creature, what happens? You die. Kung mag-bloodletting, you donate blood, you get weak, you get tired. Now imagine if all your blood has been taken away from you, you're gonna die. And the reason why blood needs to be shed is because life needs to be shed. Remember, the wages of sin is death. Because of our sins, the consequence of that is spiritual death. Death. And Christ took away all our sins upon Him. And He experienced the punishment for us. He experienced the consequence for us. In order to appease the righteous judgment of God and the consequence for our sins, He needed to die for us. Blood needed to be shed. Remember in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, all the way back in the story of creation, when man first sinned, at the fall of man, when Adam and Eve first sinned, you know what God did for them when they realized they were naked, they were ashamed? This is what happened. The Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Here's a question. Asa gikan ang garments of skins? Walay okay sa una. Walay branded na store sa una. Walay mall sa una. Blood was shed. Obviously, it came from certain animals. Gipatay animals, their skin was taken away and it was used to cover them. Blood was shed. Life was shed. And that is why God commanded the Israelites, His chosen people, that they would sacrifice certain animals whenever they would come to worship God. Once a year, the high priest, they would offer certain animals. Whenever they would come to worship God, it's not like what we're doing right now. But they would worship God. The people would bring certain sacrifices, high quality sacrifices. Kanang kanding at sada kayo fur, o sada wool, itsura. And then they would kill the animal. They would offer, they would sacrifice the animal on the altar. And God commanded it so because it was a way for them to experience redemption of their sins. But here's the thing. Ang sacrifices nila with those animals could only provide them a temporary kind of redemption. It couldn't provide them a redemption that was good for their entire lifetime or it was good nga okay na siya, humana na. That's why they had to repeat it again and again and again. It was never enough. Their sacrifices had to repeat it again and again because it was not enough to forgive them of all of their sins once and for all. Because the animals, as cute as they were, as close to chada silang animals, they were not perfect. And so it was only temporary. And that's why Jesus came into the picture, church. Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrificial substitute once for all time. That is why, right now in Victory, di na mo kailangan magdalag kanding. Di na mo kailangan magdalag manok, baka, karabaw. Can you imagine magdalag karabaw every now and there here? What's gonna happen? Come on guys, bring out your chickens right now. It's gonna be weird. It's gonna be really bloody here on the stage. And the reason for that why we don't do that anymore is that Christ was the last sacrifice needed to atone us of our sins completely. That's why in John chapter 1 verse 29, John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, the next day when he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I've heard of this title many times, young as I was before, Jesus is the Lamb of God and all that. But I thought it was just some cool nickname, Jesus. I didn't realize that there was a deep significance to this. That Jesus being the Lamb of God, He was the perfect, ultimate, and the last sacrifice needed to redeem us, to forgive us once and for all our sins. And that is why, church, Christ died on the cross for our sins. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 2, therefore says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." You have been set free, forgiven, redeemed by Christ through His blood on the cross. Without Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, we would not be here right now, worshiping, praising Him right now with all thanks and praise. Without Jesus dying on the cross, we wouldn't have complete forgiveness of our sins. Because He did so, He willingly shed not just His blood, but His life on the cross, we are now recipients of complete, total forgiveness of our sins, church. God redeemed us through His blood. Next thing I want to share is God forgave us by His grace. Perhaps you've heard of the statement, saved by grace through faith. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 to 8, it says here, "In Him, we have redemption." We've tackled that. "Through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses," or our sins, "according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight." When we talk about the word grace, grace is basically God's love to the unworthy, to the unloving. It's basically God's unmerited love, goodness, kindness to people. It's basically receiving God's love even if we don't deserve it, even if we didn't earn it, we're undeserving of it. When you talk about grace, it's receiving something that we don't deserve and not getting what we did deserve. For example, because of our sins, we should have gotten judgment, punishment. The consequences of our sin was spiritual death. But by the grace of God, that didn't happen to us. By the grace of God, by the favor, the unmerited favor of God, which we didn't earn, no matter how good we think we are, God came into the picture, died on the cross for our sins, and because of that, we didn't get the punishment that we deserve. But rather, we got forgiveness of our sins. We got a new life. We got all of these blessings, which we did not deserve. It tells you of the gravity, the weight of what God did for us and our sin. Look at it this way. It took the God of the universe to redeem us. No one and nothing else could redeem us. That's how severe our sin is. No matter how much we downplay it, how much we think, gamarin ni compared sa utupad na ako karon tom. No, I'm not comparing sin to each one of us, but in the eyes of God, all sin is the same. And it took someone like God to redeem us. That's how severe, that's how wicked and flawed we actually are. But as bad as the bad news is, how amazing the good news is naman. That we get all these blessings and goodness from God, even if we didn't deserve it, church. Even if we didn't earn it, God saved us. God redeemed us by His grace. We didn't deserve it, but He gave us this love to us. The word that He used when He talked about giving grace to us was the word lavish, which means using or giving in great amounts. Because in the verse, when you go back to verse 7, it says here, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. You know that there's a difference when you give according to your riches as compared to giving from your riches lang? Let's say, for example, imagine you're the richest man or woman in the world. To give according to your riches is like to give in proportion to whatever you have. Billionaire ka. Trillionaire ka. So you spend a lot. You give in proportion. Ay, dakama kong naa. So I would give a lot as well. But to simply say to give from your riches, it could be a small amount. Bahalag billionaryo ka, to give from your riches could be giving as small as 10 pesos. I'm sharing these things for us, church, for us to grasp that when it comes to God, pouring out His grace for us, wala tagitipid ni God. God was not stingy with us when it comes to giving us His favor, giving us His love, giving us His grace. As I said a while ago, the word He used was, He lavished it upon us. To lavish is to give in excess, to give in abundance. Let's say, motokas friend ni mo. Bisita ka sa imong friend, sa balay nila, and he tells you, bro, ganahan ka mong kaon og snack, dessert, or something. Yeah, sure, mong kaon og snack. O, sige bro, muna snack ni mo. Kaon lang, pihi lang. How many of you would be taken aback? Abi ni mo, biscuit lang, abi ni mo, king flakes lang, siguro mong gawas dito. Pudiraban, Oreo siguro, at the most, mong ginahuna, a dessert table comes up. How many of you would agree that's lavish right there, or that's of excess? Or let's say you go to your friend, bro, kailangan ko favor. Can I borrow your car? I just need to go someplace to run some errands, emergency kasi and all that. Yeah, sure. Turo sa backyard. Pili ra kung sa car ganahan mo. Those are all Ferrari cars. How many of you would agree? That's pretty lavish right there. I'm sharing all these things for us, church, because when it comes to God, He's not stingy when it comes to blessing us. Wala tagitipid ni God. Think of it this way. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son for us. You know, when we have something na usan na lang kabok, katry mo na may pagkaon, nandaka kayo na ngayon na, usan na bilin. But somehow, di tagalan mo siya nga, usan na bilin akong donut, ay na lang. Diba, it's harder to give something if it's just one thing of it left. If you have a lot of it, yeah, sure, eat lots. It's easy to give in abundance and all that. But for God, He gave His one only Son to die on the cross for our sins. He was willing to lavish us by giving His one only Son, Jesus, for us. It speaks a lot of how loving, how much of a blesser our God is. How much of His grace He's willing to give to us at the risk of being redundant. Unmerited favor of God. We didn't deserve it. No good deed you ever did in your life can tell to God, Lord, I deserve what You're giving to me right now. No. The Bible says our good deeds are like filthy rags. And yet God, out of His goodness, chooses to give it to us, church. That's how much of a blesser, how much grace we get to experience from God. In the words of Charles Hodge, when we talk about grace, it's an overflowing abundance of unmerited love, inexhaustible in God, and freely accessible through Christ. Inexhaustible grace that comes from God. We have this thought, grace is like a gift. It is freely given to us. You didn't earn it. It's not a wage. It's not a payment. It's like a gift. When you go to a birthday party, you give a gift to the person na nag-birthday, it's really given. It's not like, okay, diyan gift nimo, bayad na lang niya after sa party. Wala na hana. Nor do we expect anything in return when we give a gift to a person na nag-birthday. And the same thing with God. God gives us His grace out of the free abundance of His love for us. When you talk about forgiveness, forgiveness unlocks the riches of Christ to believers. To all those who are believing, following God, forgiveness that comes from Christ unlocks the riches, the blessings. Can you imagine this? Na redeemed na ta ni God, set free na ta, gi-bless pa ta og riches and many blessings. That's how much a blessed our God is for us. Third and last thing I want to share. God made His will known to us. In verse 9 and 10 of Ephesians chapter 1, it says here, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. God saved us, God redeemed us, forgiven of our sins. And as He did so, He also revealed to us His plan for us. Not just for us personally, but for humanity. His plan to reconcile all things to Him. A plan of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, 21, it says there, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. God saved us, redeemed us. He was restoring, reconciling the world to Himself. And not just that, but He entrusted to us this message of reconciliation. He saved you, entrusted something to you as well. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making us His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. The whole point I'm sharing this verse, church, is that God redeemed us, God saved us, and now God has given us this task, this message of reconciliation to be shared to other people. So that other people may be reconciled to God as well. It says there, we are His ambassadors. We are called to go out there because His will has been revealed to us. In other words, as we talk about this whole salvation plan, this whole redemption thing to God, it's not just something for our benefit lang. Okay, redeemed na ko. Okay now, Lord, solved na ko. I'm going to live my life, enjoy my life. Yay, okay now. But God has something in store for us. He redeemed us, revealed His will to us, and we have a role to play. We are His ambassadors, bringing that message of reconciliation. Because we're here in this Sunday service, week in, week out, we get to praise, we get to worship God. We get to hear the good news, the gospel, that He died on the cross for our sins, we are forgiven, that we don't need to run after chasing or doing good works to earn our salvation. We don't need to feel like we need to balance out whatever sins we did with good deeds. But we can have the assurance that, man, Lord, save now, okay now. And we get to enjoy that because we've heard it. But guess what? Other people have not heard it, church. Other people have no idea of what Jesus did for them. Other people have no idea of their state, that they're slaves to sin, that they're in need of a Savior, in need of knowing that someone has redeemed them. And you'll never know how much they're desperate for that. The amazing thing is God has entrusted us this amazing message to go out there to share this to other people. To preach the gospel. That's why, church, we do our victory groups. That's why we do our one-to-ones. That's why we preach the gospel to people. To preach the message of reconciliation. So people will know. So people will understand. And wow, someone has redeemed me. Someone has paid the price for my sin and set me free. For all of us recipients of the church, I hope we will not be contented with enjoying our own personal redemptive story, but we will long for seeing the other people, our classmates, schoolmates, workmates, family members. We would long to see them as well, experience firsthand that moment, knowing that, Lord, giredeem ko nimo. May we long to see that happen in other people as well. Let me leave you with this quote from Tim Keller. It says there, the gospel says that you are more sinful and flawed than you ever dared believe, but you are more accepted and loved than you ever dared hope. What's my point in sharing this? The gospel, the good news, what Christ did for us, it tells us that we are actually more sinful, more wicked and flawed than we ever dared believe. Abi nato okay nata compared to other people. Guess what? The bad news is we were slaves to sin. We are just as bad as the worst person we think out there on the earth is. We're in the same boat. But here's the thing. The more you understand the gravity, the weight of your sin, compared to the gravity of God's love for you, the more you will show appreciation and gratitude for what God did for you. It also says there, but the more accepted and loved than you ever dared hope. You might feel like you need to earn the love of God. When you don't feel God answering your prayers, you feel like, Lord, you've forgotten me. You've turned your back towards me. Lord, you have been deaf to me. But guess what? Knowing that God was willing to redeem us, it speaks a lot to us that we are more loved than we ever dared thought we were. We thought that we need to perform for God just to maintain that love, that blessing. Lord, bless ko sige, Lord. Kaya ako lang ginabuhat. Guess what? Before we did anything else pa church, God already loved us unconditionally. This doesn't mean we just go about sinning in our lives, but may this convict us and tell us that because we've been given this new life from God through this redemption, may we live a new life by walking with God. Instead of going back to our old ways because we have been now set free. Can you imagine a prisoner be set free, free from the shackles of sins of the prison or slavery? Then we would say, ay, di ko ganahan ma-set free. Ganahan ko sa prison, kutsada man ma-kadena o so. Of course not. Every time you see someone walk out of prison, they can't wait to go outside and be free and get away from the place. Guess what, church? We have been set free from the power of sin in our lives. I hope and pray that we will not get back to our old ways, but we embrace the new life, the redeemed life that God has given us. We may be more wicked and flawed than we ever dared believe, but we are more accepted and loved than we ever dared hope.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.